we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you joining me here on this Thursday. Walker's with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm with you Tuesdays, Thursdays, and sometimes we mix it up and do the show together. But this afternoon, looking, man, 5 days out, big election, obviously, biggest election of our lifetime, a clash of worldviews happening in America, essentially a civil war intellectually, right? This is a, hopefully, continues to be only intellectual and not kinetic, but it is definitely a clash of worldviews at stake right now. You could not have more diametrically opposed candidates for president and frankly, up and down the ballot. I mean, the split in the country is not just at the presidential level. There is a worldview that permeates now the education system in America that is very secular, that is very anti-American, very anti-free enterprise, anti-freedom of religion, anti-freedom of speech. I mean, all of those things. So we've essentially used our education system, not us, but the left, to indoctrinate a large chunk of this country that now believes in principles that are the opposite of the American value system upon which we were founded, which is, of course, a biblical value system, the opposite of even the principles that are described in the Declaration of Independence, that this is what we're about to declare our independence from and for and what our nation will look like, the opposite of even the enshrined principles in the Constitution itself, the Bill of Rights and the other amendments, as well as just the core part of the Constitution. So because you've got an indoctrination effort that's taken place for 50 years, of course there's people out there in the country that believe the things that they were taught, that believe the one side that they were indoctrinated with. And then you have another half of the country that is essentially living on the fumes of the hard work of previous generations. And, you know, when we say the word conservative, that essentially means they're trying to conserve those principles. They're trying to conserve what the nation was and what it was founded upon. They're doing the opposite of the Kamala Harris line, you know, unburdened by what has been. No, actually, conservatives would like to be burdened by what has been. In other words, we would like to be bound. We would like to be grounded to something that's solid, not just have this free-for-all, anything goes, everything's okay. So on the left side of this equation, this half of the country, which actually I think is probably more like, you know, 10 or 15% of the country, but they're loud and they're effective. And so they occupy positions of influence and power. And I don't think half believes like them, but they're able to manipulate half the country to vote their way or to follow them. And so the left is over there, you know, with these ideas of, oh, you can't have free speech because then misinformation will be allowed. You can't have free speech because then there'll be hate speech, which is actually the very purpose of the First Amendment, to protect what some would label and call hate speech or call misinformation. That's what free speech is all about, that you have the arena of ideas to be able to say what you believe. Then I can say what I believe and we can, you know, debate things and have civil discourse, and then people can decide who they want to believe. But the people on the left are trying to stop and reverse these fundamental principles of liberty that made America great in the first place. And then the people, you could say, on the right, I would say, frankly, the middle and the right, because you can't really call Elon Musk or Joe Rogan or Robert F. Kennedy or Tulsi Gabbard the right. They're definitely the middle. Actually, used to be some, you know, left leaning, and now I would say are right leaning. But they're not, you know, staunch conservatives. They're getting there. I'm following Elon Musk on X, and I'm telling you, this guy is sharing Milton Friedman videos, okay? For those of you that don't know who Milton Friedman is, I call him Uncle Milt because so much of my education on economics and government and all of that came from Milton Friedman. I mean, this guy was the greatest economist of the last century. I would say Thomas Sowell is the greatest economist of this century, and was very influential on, actually, you know, taught Thomas Sowell and so many of these other great economists of today. But anyway, when you have a guy like Elon Musk sharing Milton Friedman videos, something's happening, man. Something's happening in the country. There is something going on. When an Elon Musk gets up on stage and talks about not just the First Amendment, which he clearly is a fan of. I mean, he saved the First Amendment. He saved freedom of speech by buying Twitter and stopping the government collusion with a private entity that was preventing free speech from happening, that was literally silencing opposition, that was, you know, not allowing for the arena of ideas. So everybody kind of knows, because of that move and because of what he's done at Twitter, that he's a First Amendment fan, or at least the free speech part of the First Amendment. He's proven that with his dollars and with his actions. But now he's actually talking about not only the First Amendment, but the Second Amendment. When is the last time you have seen someone that was this popular or wealthy or powerful be a defender of the Second Amendment? I mean, look, I've been a defender of the Second Amendment my whole life. I mean, I was the God and guns guy in the legislature. Charlton Heston did a spot for me 25 years ago and bragged about me in the legislature for the legislation that I was passing to defend the Second Amendment. So I've been a champion for a long time, but I'm a little bitty fish, man. I'm like, you know, way down here on the totem pole with a limited, you know, amount of influence. When is the last time you heard somebody of an Elon Musk category out there talking about the importance of the Second Amendment? And actually, here's the crazy part, articulating the original purpose of the Second Amendment. It's not about hunting, folks. The Second Amendment is about preventing a tyrannical government from taking away your rights. And Elon Musk is all over Pennsylvania doing these town hall meetings and talking about that. I mean, I'm having to pinch myself, folks. You don't understand. I've been giving speeches on the Second Amendment, my whole adult life, and in a big way over the last 5 years. I mean, we've built a big part of Patriot Academy around restoring the Second Amendment, getting people that actually claim to love the right of self-defense actually trained to do that, to actually defend their family, to put down the wolf should the wolf show up at their door, to be able to defend their rights and their family. So this is a big deal to me and to our organization at Patriot Academy. And so to see Elon Musk do this, and then the kicker, not only the rhetoric, not only talk about it, but then turn around and give away $1 million a day to one of the people that actually he's given away a lot more than $1 million a day. One person wins $1 million a day. He's given away $47 for anybody that signs the petition in a lot of these other states, $100 to anybody that signs the petition in some of these states. So I don't know what the total is that he's given away, but with his actions and with his dollars, he is defending and restoring the First and Second Amendment. He's getting people to actually pay attention to what those things are. What he's doing is he's raising the constitutional literacy of the country. Think about that. Elon Musk is raising the constitutional literacy of the country. Folks, I mean, again, I've dedicated my life to that. That's the whole purpose of Patriot Academy. We've got over 1 million graduates of our Constitution classes to raise the constitutional literacy of the country. That is a drop in the bucket to what Elon Musk has been able to do in just a few weeks. So I am so thankful that God has brought these men of Issachar, and women, frankly, of Issachar, who understand the times and know what to do. He's brought them over to our side. And when I say our side, I do not mean Republican. I do not mean the Trump campaign. When I say our side, I mean the side that's been fighting to restore the Constitution, the side that's been fighting to restore the constitutional literacy of the country, to increase the citizen activity of the country, to get people to be patriotic again, to understand what it means to be an American, and then to turn around and advocate for the values of America. That's the side that I'm on. I'm a vote Republican way more than I will. In fact, I went and voted yesterday, and I looked for a Democrat that I could vote for. I tried. I did. I don't like being one party. I used to split my ticket. I mean, in Texas, you could find conservative Democrats. Back when I was, leading the College Republican Club on my campus, I actually voted for a Democrat for state senator because he was conservative. Can't find that anymore. I mean, there's a couple of them in Texas, but they're not where I live, so I couldn't vote for them. But so I do vote Republican if that's the most conservative and that's the one that is most biblical and most lined up with what I just described: restoration of constitutional principles, restoration of the principles of liberty, and that's what everyone should do. You should not be a Republican or Democrat as much as you are a constitutionalist. You should not be Republican or Democrat as much as you are biblical. I think John Amachuku says it better than anybody. He's like, I don't get my talking points from the DNC or the RNC. I get them from the BIBLE. I love that. I told John I was going to steal it and that I'd give him credit a couple of times. So if you hear me say that again in a couple of weeks and I don't credit John, just know that I told him that was coming. All right. So anyway, our whole philosophy should be based on, as believers, what's the Bible say we should do? And the Bible says that we should occupy until he returns. The Bible says that we should treat our neighbors the way we want to be treated. The Bible says we should be good stewards of what we've been given, and that everything that we do, we should do it the best that we can as unto God, not unto men. Okay, so that was a lot of scriptures that I just quoted. That's what we're supposed to do as citizens. And yet, we have Bible professing, I don't believe they're Bible following, but Bible professing Christians, and maybe I should say that, professing Christians, not necessarily biblical Christians. Maybe that's the right way to define that. We have professing Christians out there right now that are actually advocating. They're not just quietly saying, I'm not going to vote. They are advocating that the most biblical position is to not vote. I mean, name me a scripture. Show me biblically how to back that up. Now, they use all kinds of emotion. They use all kinds of, I just don't feel like I can support this man that does this or this woman that does that or whatever. It's not biblical. There's zero biblical argument for not voting. You do not live in the Roman Empire of the first century. You do not live in the Soviet Union where you have no say. You do not live in North Korea where Kim Jong-un is going to tell you what to do and you know you have no voice. You live in the United States of America where we the people are in charge, and the way that you exercise your leadership and be in charge is with your vote and your voice and your dollars. And for you to bury those is to be the wicked and slothful servant that is not using the talent that God gave, that God left you with. And you're going to answer for it. I don't perfume this up. There's no nice way to say it. You will answer to God for what you did with the talents that he left you with. You will answer to God for how good of a steward you were in a nation where you were given the ability to choose your leaders, choose what your nation looks like. You were given the ability to treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated by working hard to make sure there's a justice system that treats everybody the same. By working hard to make sure that in your neighborhood, we don't chop off genitalia in the name of some psychotic mental illness that people are trying to normalize. You have the ability to stop that insanity with your vote and your voice and your dollars. And you're going to bury it? You're going to not use it? And folks, I'm talking about some big-time evangelical leaders. They're actually evangelifish leaders. But we're talking about some big-time pastors, leaders, activists that are actually out there advocating for Christians to not vote. It's unbelievable to me that they could make that argument or take that position, make that argument with a straight face. Now, I think I've come up with an analogy that fits for this decision right now. If you're going into this weekend, if you're going into the final stretches of the biggest election of our lifetime, and you're trying to decide, do I vote? Because that's the first choice, right? The binary choice. Tim Barton was telling me this the other day on Wall Builders Radio, and I didn't realize it was a great epiphany moment. He said, hey, it's a binary choice. And I'm thinking, yeah, binary choice. You're either going to vote for Donald Trump or you're going to vote for Kamala Harris. And he's like, no. The binary choice first is you're either going to vote or you're not going to vote. You're either going to exercise stewardship with what you've been given or you're not. You're either going to invest the talent that you've been given or you're not. And so you got to make that decision first, and then we'll talk about, okay, if I'm going to vote, then how do I vote biblically when the choices are, in fact, the lesser of two evils because Jesus is not on the ballot. So every option, every election, every time, you're voting for the lesser of two evils. I've been saying that for 30 years. I really enjoy the fact that a lot of people a lot bigger than me with a lot bigger platforms than me are saying that in the last couple of weeks. So that's great. I love it. But that's the truth. But first, we got to answer the question, are you going to vote? The first binary choice is to vote or not to vote. What is the biblical answer to that? Or even just the common sense answer to that? I think I've got the analogy that fits. I'm going to share it when we come back from the break. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. And we're going to take some phone calls when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. First binary choice when you call in to vote or not to vote. That. is the question. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Phone number, if you'd like to participate, is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Before the break, we were talking about the first of the binary choices, to vote or not to vote. Is it biblical to not exercise stewardship over the vote that you've been given, over the culture, the society, the family, the neighborhood where you've been planted? Is it biblical to not tend the garden? By not voting, are you somehow tending the garden? By not voting, are you somehow sending a message? I hear that all the time. I'm going to send a message by not voting. I'm going to make Donald Trump be more pro-life by helping Kamala Harris get elected, because that's what you do when you don't vote, right? But somehow, in some weird way, that's the logic that I'm hearing from folks. And so I think I have the right analogy for this. So just imagine this. All right, I went a couple years ago. Maybe it's been 4 years ago. Kara and I, my wife and I, took my daughter, Cameron, to Peru. And we were going with Compassion International, great organization. And I was going because I wanted to see firsthand if what they were doing was real, right? Like you always hear about, we're going to save the children and sponsor a kid and you're going to help feed a family. And it always sounds great. But, I wanted to know. I wanted to see it with my eyes. What were they doing with the dollars that we were sending with the kids that we had sponsored? And so we fly out there. We go to Peru. They take us out and we see, interesting part of the country, and got to see what they were doing on the ground, which, by the way, absolutely amazing. I mean, what they're doing in these cities with the schools, it's unreal. So we fell in love with Compassion International, with the kids, and had a great time. Okay, so back to my analogy. Peru. If you go, we didn't get to go here, but I've watched videos of this. But if you go out in the Andes Mountains and you look at some of these roads on the sides of these cliffs, it's insane. Okay, I'm the guy that always says, don't be safe, be dangerous. But this is insane. I mean, these buses go on these little bitty narrow roads on the edge of the cliffs all around these mountains. And it's, a harrowing thing. And it's actually kind of fun to watch the videos. So here's the scenario. Okay, here's the analogy. I want you to imagine that you go with me on a trip to see the Compassion International schools. And then we actually go out to these, mountainous regions, and we're going to take one of these bus rides on the sides of these cliffs. I mean, the bus is literally driving on this little narrow road on the sides of these cliffs to get to wherever it is that we're going. Okay, so we're loading up in the bus, and your whole family is with you. Okay, it's not just you. It's your whole family, your kids, your grandkids, all the people you love. And same for me. But there's a bunch of other people on the bus too, a bunch of locals or other people that we don't know. And so everybody loads up on the bus. And once we get on the bus, getting ready for this harrowing journey, two people walk on the front of the bus to be voted on as the driver of the bus to get us from point A to point B on this harrowing experience. And you do not have the option of getting off the bus. You're going to be on the bus now. We're locked down. All right, you're taking this trip, like it or not. So your only option now is to have some influence on which of the two bus drivers is going to take us on this journey. And we find out that one of the two bus drivers, as they're giving us their sales pitch and as we're learning about them, one of the two bus drivers has never successfully made the drive. In fact, her driving record is pretty lousy. She's had a lot of crashes. She's had a lot of harrowing experiences where she did not succeed, and she's crashed everything from the economy to you name it, and done a lot of crazy stuff. And she's actually kind of inebriated as she walks on the bus, and that's one of your options as your driver. Your other driver has had an absolutely successful driving record, has driven buses on every kind of journey you can think of very successfully, and gotten incredible results, and absolutely has confidence because he's done this before and proven on this very road, same road, that he can get people to the other side in style, baby. Not even just successfully. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect. And so this guy is one of your options for your driver. And the gal with the terrible track record and is kind of staggering as she comes on the bus and is clearly on something is your other option. Now, everybody on the bus gets to vote. Everybody on the bus gets a say in who's going to either drive us off the cliff or get us to the other side of this harrowing experience. And it looks like about half the bus was out partying with the one option, who's still a little hungover and inebriated all night long. And so they really like her, and they're going to vote for her. And your family's going to suffer the consequences if that group chooses her and she's the one that's going to drive us on this little bus drive. Your family's going to suffer either success or failure on this bus ride, depending on who's chosen to be the driver. And you get to be the deciding vote on whether or not the crazy lady is going to be in charge of the bus, or the guy that's actually done this well and proven, not just said he could do it well, proven that he could. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? To vote or not to vote? Is this really an option? I mean, are you really going to sit back and say, no, you know what? I'm going to let those other folks that are still hungover, I'm going to let them choose. And then I'm just going to watch my kids die as we drive over the cliff. Because that other guy that's done this really well several times, I heard that he said some mean things to some people. I heard that he tweeted out some nasty things. I heard he actually used foul language. In fact, he's been married 3 times. He only wants to save 99% of the babies. He's going to allow 1% of the babies to still be aborted in these, you know, horrible situations. And he wants to save 99% of the babies. And even though this bus ride has nothing to do with that, I can't help him. So I know she wants to kill all the babies, not only all the babies that are in the womb, but the ones that survived the abortion. She's okay with those dying too. You with me, folks? You understand what I'm saying here? That's how. I'm trying to think of a nice word. I'm trying. That's how misguided. There. Is that a nice enough word? That's how ill-advised these people are that are saying, just sit on the bus and let the crazy lady drive the country off the cliff. Show me somehow how that's biblical. Show me somehow how that makes sense. Show me somehow how that in any way is being a good steward of what we've been given. It's foolishness. They are being fools. They are being useful idiots, the communist would call them. And I guarantee you that right now, that's exactly what the communists are calling these people that call themselves Christian leaders, that are encouraging Christians not to vote. These communists are in the back room laughing it up and saying, what a great deal. We actually have Christian leaders telling Christians not to go vote. This is fantastic. They're loving it. They're calling these Christian leaders useful idiots because they are exactly what Stalin was referring to. They are useful idiots. They're helping the Marxist take over America. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. Don't be a fool for the people that are trying to destroy our country and take your kids off the cliff. You have a chance right now, this weekend, to encourage everyone in your family, everyone in your church, everyone that you have contact with in every state, not just the battleground states, all across the country. You have the chance to reach out to people and encourage them to choose the best bus driver, to choose the one that can get us across this dangerous. It's going to be ugly in the next 4 years, no matter who is president. We have a lot of work to do as a nation to restore this country. And the best that we're going to get is a bus driver that just simply gets us across the danger zone safely, hopefully unharmed, and gives us the chance to get to the village and start rebuilding. That's the best that we can hope for in this presidential election. This does not solve all the problems. It gets us to the village so that we can rebuild. We can tend the garden. We can pull up the weeds. We can restore our nation. All right. I'm done ranting. Let's go to the phones. Phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We're going to start in Florida with Michael. Michael, you're up first today. What's your comment or question? Go ahead.
You forgot the insults, but that's okay. We forgive you.
Or the insults. You're exactly right. Oh, good. I'm glad you're... I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate your show. And listen, I want to say a lot, so I'm going to try and make it as quick as I can. I just called one of my lifetime nemesis, and she had, I don't, it's unclear how many abortions she had throughout her life. And the problem is I very easily could have been one of the aborted ones. Okay, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is she's not my friend. We've never been friends. And I'm talking, of course, about my mother. But I called her because with the, I live in Florida, and with all these hurricanes and all this and that going on. And, man, if you don't get out there and vote, you, in the first place, you ain't got nothing to say about it if you don't vote. Okay. Right. And the other thing is, and this is probably going to ruffle some feathers here, but listen, when God created man, man was supposed to be in charge of the garden. But what was he doing? He was hanging around in the background while Eve was deceived, and she led him astray. And what did he do? He blamed her. Pardon me for being old-fashioned and maybe sexist or whatever. The deal is here, I don't think that females are supposed to be in that kind of position of authority and power. I mean, maybe I'm crazy here, but I don't really think that's ultimately the way it was supposed to be. And then the other thing I want to say, too, I've had a hard time. For some reason, I can't figure out how to register for all that stuff with the Patriots Academy and this and that and whatever. My sister's involved with that. She's connected with you guys in Colorado, which is a very blue state, okay?
Yeah, but we're fighting for it. Yeah, go ahead.
Throughout the program, if you would, just please just promote that, talk about it, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you do this or not. I don't even know if this is part of your thing. I'm sure it is, but it's the iVoter guide. Because I haven't gone to do early voting because I'm not listen, I want to know that that thing goes in the slot in a place that is in a secure building where there are eyewitnesses and hopefully security cameras.
No, I hear what you're saying, Michael. I'm getting close to my break, so I'm going to cut you off. But I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. The certainty in the election is never going to happen until we get back to paper ballots that are only on election day. And there's verification and hand counting and all that. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. 100 other countries have done it. We can get there. But in the meantime, we got to do the best we can with what we got, where we are. And I recommend early voting just to make sure that nothing happens on election day and you can't get there. But, you know, in some states, it's too late to do that. In Texas, if you're listening, you still got tomorrow, still got today and tomorrow. And I encourage you to do that so that you just make sure that your vote gets in. To some of the other things, you know, Michael, listen, man, anybody listening to this program knows I don't care if I offend people, right? That's just part of it. I'm going to speak truth and speak what I believe and let the chips fall where they may. And sometimes I'm going to be wrong and I'll change my opinion if I'm given good facts to do that. I think God's design is for the man to lead. But there's clearly times when men cower and they become snowflakes and they don't do their job or they lead poorly. And God raises up someone like a Deborah or an Esther or others to lead. I think Margaret Thatcher was a phenomenal leader. I think it's different, but I do think we're wired differently, right? So there's no doubt that the male brain works differently than the female brain. And sometimes it's an advantage to have the female brain in some of those leadership situations. And sometimes it's an advantage to have the male brain in some of those leadership situations. But I also think from just a physical turmoil of the presidency and some of these things that it is hard for a female to physically go through what it takes to do that job. And you're already hearing about Kamala melting down behind the scenes, people from her campaign talking about the fits that she's throwing and the yelling and all the stuff that's happening right now. And I think that has more to do with her particular personality and narcissism and her insecurities that are very, very obvious. She knows that she doesn't know most of what she needs to know to do this job. And so that's why she compensates with the cackling and compensates with the sassiness, you know, and barking back at people and all that. That is all textbook insecurity and covering up for that insecurity. And that's one reason when I do the bus analogy, you can see that in people, right? You can see the insecurity and the lack of ability and the lack of knowledge to do the job well versus the confidence that you see in a Donald Trump because he's done the job well. He wasn't perfect, but he did move into the number four slot of all-time best presidents on my list just based on his first 4 years. So there's just an absolute difference in the confidence of the two candidates that you have. So I don't think we can do broad stroke and say that's all men or all women, but I do think that there is a certain skill set that women are given for certain things and men are given for certain things. We are absolutely created differently. There is absolutely male and female, and there are absolutely certain things that on par, men are going to do better and women are going to do better. So to what Michael was saying, I think there's a lot to be said for a lot of those things. But you know, there are exceptions to every rule as well. So anyway, okay. Now send your hate mail to Michael, all of the women out there that are mad at me for saying what I just said. Okay. Let's go to, where are we? Let's see. We got Jerry in Texas. Jerry, go ahead, man. You're up next. Hey Jerry, I heard a beep, but I didn't hear you. You still there?
Yeah. Okay, can you hear me?
Oh, now got you. Go ahead, man.
Okay, awesome. I agree with everything you just said. I would have said the exact same thing about women in position of power. I totally agree with that. Me and my wife had that conversation. And sometimes she's not happy with me, so just stand by. I would say that. The second is that there are too many pastors that stand in the pulpit and don't preach about the government today. Yeah. I sit in a pastor, and he actually did a sermon on Romans 13 two weeks ago, and he was telling the congregation about the government during Paul's time. Well, it's relevant to the scripture, but more relevant is the government to our day.
That's right.
It's been taught in the government indoctrination schools that we are a democracy, that the people in Washington are our leaders and they have our best interests. But none of that is true.
That's right.
I hear the music. I'm going to let you go in a second.
Man, I'm so sorry.
We got the same thing.
No. Yeah, we got 40 seconds to break, but you're spot on, Jerry. I mean, 100%. And man, you know, I would say work on your pastor, you know, be loving and encouraging and all that good stuff. But throw down the gauntlet when you have to and say, listen, man, we got to speak to this stuff today. People need to know how to apply the Bible to the culture today. They need to know how to apply the Bible to their family, their business, their neighborhood, and yes, their politics today and how it works. And, you know, listen, if the pastor's not going to wake up and do the right thing, then change your pastor or change your pastor. Steve Maxwell, shout out to you, man. You're the one that gave me that line. All right, folks, quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This election is critical, especially for the lives of the unborn. Select states have abortion on the ballot. They're more interested in protecting abortion instead of the innocent unborn children who can't speak for themselves. Maybe you know your state is one of the guilty ones, but if you're not sure, please find out before you vote. We have a list of states and the measures they're trying to pass. Visit afaaction.net/life to keep our preborn babies safe in the womb. afaaction.net/life. The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me on this Thursday. Love for you to call in 888-589-8840. We got full phone lines lit up already, but try to get in. We'd love to talk to you. I know everybody's excited. This is kind of cool. People are, you know, they can feel it. They can feel it. They can feel the energy in the country right now. They can feel the awakening that's happening. And folks, it is not just a political awakening. It's not just a constitutional thing. There's revival in the land. I'm telling you, look at these thousands of kids getting baptized on college campuses all over the country. You just feel it, man. I was at a thing Monday, I guess, for it was basically faith leaders for a meeting with Donald Trump, and we had a worship service, and it was awesome. I mean, it was just so cool. I'm telling you, there's something happening, and the Lord is moving. Aslan is on the move, folks. It just is really cool. Okay, let's go. How about Tennessee? Let's go to Tennessee to Mary. Mary, you're up next. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling in. I had people tell me that they were not going to vote, and I think a lot of that has kind of been a long propaganda indoctrination that's been going on for a couple hundred years now. that has kind of trickled down to the rest of us. I also tried to access the iVoter guide at the library on Google. It would not allow me to access that site.
You're kidding me.
Almost any other faith-based site I've tried to access, I was not allowed to access it. And when I went to the polls, because I did vote early, so I did vote, I went there, and what I had gotten at the library, they were able to print out to me one of those sample ballots that you can get.
Good.
Because it took me like 4 months to even register to vote, because they couldn't get registered, backed up 3-4 months behind even on registrations for voting, for example. But so I got a printout there. Well, something that was on there was a memorandum for alcohol drinking, yes or no. It was very inspecific and kind of vague for my area. But when I went to vote, it wasn't on there. And most of the other stuff on it wasn't on there either, which is kind of really weird. So I kind of wonder. I asked a gal when I was leaving, I said, because I went through, you know, filled out, put it in the machine that counts, whatever it does. And then I left, and I asked a gal about it, and she said, well, it probably just wasn't applying to your area. But I'm not sure what area it was applying to. But basically, it was like the wholesale selling.
You know, Mary, I bet I know what that was, because we've had that in our area a few times, too. Typically, the wet or dry, you know, whether or not a county or a part of a county or a precinct in a county can sell alcohol, ends up on the ballot, and it's in that particular precinct. And so I bet when your printout came from iVoterGuide.com, it was countywide. And then when you got in there to vote, that measure, I'm guessing this, right, because I don't know your particular county, but I've been in your exact shoes. I've done the exact same thing in Hays County where I live. And I get in there, and the particular precinct vote was different. And so I wasn't actually, you know, my house was outside of that particular precinct. I bet you that's what happened. Well, was all of the other the same, like president down to state legislator, that sort of thing?
No, it only had, like, it didn't have anything that would be considered nonpartisan either was listed. None of that was listed either. That was removed as well. It was kind of weird, yeah. And then, like I said, the memorandum was about drinking. Now, it did say the entire county, but it did say a certain area. So I don't know if it was just the parks that were going to get to drink alcohol all of the time, or what it was, because it was so vague, it was hard to understand. I don't have the access to the actual law to even know.
Well, and that's the other thing they do, is they write these ballot measures so confusing. That's one thing we've had to fight here in Texas as well. Tennessee's probably, you run into the same thing, is you'll end up with a constitutional amendment for your state constitution, and you read it and you go, okay, this could go either way. I'm not sure what this actually means. So we got to do a better job on that one as well. But to Mary's point, Mary, thank you for calling in, by the way. To Mary's point on this has been going on for a long time, she's exactly right. I mean, there's been a concentrated effort to essentially convince Christians that you're a better Christian if you don't get your hands dirty. Now, that's not biblical either, right? As Christians, we're supposed to get down in the trenches, man. We're supposed to go actually minister to the sick and to those in prison and to, you know, the orphans, and you just go down the list, right? But you're not supposed to get your hands dirty. Politics is somehow dirty. And that is, there is nothing biblically to back that up. But the perception is there, because for so long, the seminaries started teaching that, and then the pastors started teaching that. And so you end up with this mindset that somehow politics is separate from everything else in our life. That the governing body of your neighborhood or your county or your state or your country, that the Bible somehow doesn't apply to that, and that you should not influence who that's going to be if you're a Christian. I mean, that's insane, right? Think about the logic of that. That's essentially saying, oh, well, we as Christians, we're just supposed to, you know, sit in our room and meditate all day. We're just supposed to sit in our room and pray all day, because if we actually go out and influence what's going on in the community, somehow we're getting our hands dirty. That is not biblical at all. That is a lie from the pit of hell used to neutralize the good guys. Because, you know, you've heard the expression, and gets attributed to a lot of different people, but I think Edmund Burke was the guy that started it. The only thing it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do what? Nothing. The only thing it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. What do you think these people are trying to get you to do if they're telling you not to vote? They're trying to get you to do nothing. What happens when you do nothing? Evil triumphs. So how sad for these supposed Christian leaders to be so fooled or so foolish to actually advocate for Christians to do nothing and then allow evil to triumph. How sad for them. And unfortunately, how sad for the people that follow them and actually take that kind of terrible advice. All right, iVoterGuide.com, by the way. Several of our callers have mentioned it. Let's make sure we encourage people to go there. iVoterGuide.com. Let's head to another state. How about, we got Arkansas, we got Georgia, we got Kansas, we got Kentucky. How about Kentucky? Let's go Kentucky. Mark in Kentucky, you're next, man. Go ahead.
Yes, Coach Green. I want to call you General Green, but we'll go with Coach.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Job to educate us about the amazing documents that give us the granted us, amongst many things, the freedom, which, yes. Going to your analogy, I think that's a great one. The fact is, that we are all on the bus.
Yeah.
You can't get off. We're on the
bus. Right.
Now, well, you could get off. But then if you tie that together with our responsibility of being born again and in the know and having a book of instructions called the Bible, right?
Yeah.
That tells us, as you described, and that's where Adam blew it, if we want to tie it into what the other two men said. Adam blew it. He was put in charge, and the emotionally based counterpart was deceived, right? He was not doing his job. And we live under the consequences of that even in this day, that we are being irresponsible, doing nothing, as you said, is just, and I'm just regurgitating what you say, sir. You just do such a fantastic job.
Oh, man.
And you've got the energy.
Well, Mark, God bless you, man. How's Kentucky looking? What are you thinking in Kentucky?
I think we're, well, you know, we've been under the influence. We've been under the influence of the turtle, right, McConnell, for all these years, decades.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, we had a Republican candidate that was trying to run against McConnell and the RNC here in the western side of the state. You know, they didn't want anything to do with them. That was Matt Bevin. But, you know, I hope, you know, I'll tell you what, I am so encouraged by people I meet on the street.
Yeah.
Out there, maybe likely mostly the non-church going folks that have just gotten, like me, sort of a little confused, to say the least, about what happened when the pandemic came down and the leaders were called to task. And most of them, caved, right? They didn't say, I serve a mighty God. I'm not closing my doors. And by the way, as Greg Locke says, I got a couple of rights. One is that we have the right to meet. And if you infringe upon the first one, the boys will meet you at the door.
That's right. Well, man, I'm praying for Kentucky. I thought Matt Bevin did a great job as governor, and I definitely wish that he had been able to beat McConnell, and you know, hopefully the days of McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and all of these folks that did not put country over self, but instead put self over country, hopefully their days are numbered and their days in power are numbered, and that, you know, it's so sad that such a great country with so many great leaders and great potential leaders has been in this situation where we've let these power hungry, selfish people stay in power for so long. It's one reason I'm such a big advocate of term limits. I wish that we had people that would exit stage left when it's time to move on. And unfortunately, we just don't. We have too many selfish people in these positions of power. So I'm hoping Kentucky gets some good new leadership and there's a rebirth there as well. Let's head over to, let's see. How about Georgia? We hadn't had a call from Georgia in a while. Mary Beth in Georgia. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Hi, Rick. There's an aspect of another reason it's important to vote that hasn't really gotten a lot of notice this cycle, but the UN is always trying to pass resolutions, and pretty much everyone they pass these days or try to seems like it's going to basically nullify our national sovereignty, even if we still have the mask on, as if we do for a while. And the conservatives are the ones that typically fight against that stuff, or are more likely to fight against it, and the other people just roll with it. And I don't think we want to be governed by the UN just yet. Another thing is, like somebody was talking a while ago, but like this is a good chance to vote for more time for soul winning. If they clamp down on that freedom, it's going to be harder to openly minister to people. On the other hand, maybe the church would explode.
Well, you're right, Mary Beth. I mean, when there's persecution, the church does explode, but we don't obviously want persecution, and we would rather be able to have the church explode without that. And you know, I think it still holds that we're 80% of the missions around the world. I mean, America has been the light. I mean, we've been the beacon. God's used us to spread the gospel all over the planet. And to your point, I mean, you know, you want the freedom to share the gospel and to disciple people and all of that. You got to have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and to sit on the sideline and allow those things to be taken away in the name of, oh, I'm just being a good Christian and not getting my hands dirty. And what these people are saying is just missing the entire point of what's going on. And another thing you said, Mary Beth, about, you know, subjecting ourselves to these international, whether it's the UN or whatever, you know, the World Health Organization, for instance, the idea that we would allow the World Health Organization to tell us what we would have to do in a pandemic, to let them decide when there's a pandemic after what we saw happen with COVID and the abuse of manipulating that whole situation. There's actually, Mary Beth, a specific complaint in the Declaration of Independence to this very idea. It reads like this. This is one of the complaints against King George. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. I mean, Jefferson worded that perfect. Their pretended legislation, their acts of pretended legislation, it's foreign to our Constitution. The World Health Organization is foreign to our Constitution. And this current president and vice president have tried to subject us to that jurisdiction that's foreign to our Constitution, unacknowledged by our laws, acts of pretended legislation. And so Mary Beth's point is spot on with regard to that. And that's one of the beauties of the contrast between the candidates. You don't have to wonder how different they are on this. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden want to subject us to jurisdictions foreign to our Constitution. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are against that, and they've been very clear. In fact, President Trump called it out from the beginning. As soon as the COVID thing happened, he said the World Health Organization is owned by the Chinese. They're controlled by the Chinese. Why would we listen to them? He's been willing to defund a lot of these international, you know, agencies and organizations trying to tell us what to do. You think Donald Trump's going to be pushed around by these organizations? Not a chance. He is the Ronald Reagan of our day that understands how to say no to that stuff. So I think your points are very well taken. All right, we only got a few minutes. Let's see if we can get to another call here. Let's take another state in. How about Kansas? Lee in Kansas. Go ahead, man. You're up next. I hear an echo out there, but I can't hear you, Lee. So I got another Kansas call I'm going to go to. John in Kansas. Go ahead, John. You're up next.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your program a whole lot, and we'll try and be quick for a couple of points. One, there was a pastor in Lake Point Church, I believe, in Texas, that said about not voting, trying to send a message. He says the only thing that matters in politics is who wins, so it really doesn't matter.
Yes, who counts the votes, that they would always say. Like, you can vote for whoever you want. It's who counts the votes that matters. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, but his point was the only thing that matters is if you win or not. And for trying to send a message by not voting, nobody's listening to that.
That's right.
The politicians only listen who wins or who loses. That's the only thing there is. You're not sending a message because nobody's listening.
So good. John, you're spot on, man. That's a great call. I mean, that's a great point to close out with today. John's exactly right. And it also goes back to Exodus 18. We're supposed to choose leaders that are able, right? That's the first part. They got to be able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. So if you're not voting, you're certainly not choosing able. You're actually not choosing at all, which means you are actually choosing the least able because you're allowing them to win. And so you got to choose able people that can do the job. And so they got to be capable of winning. So that's why we support candidates who actually can win. We don't throw our support away. So in addition to not voting, a bad mistake that sometimes Christians make is that they support someone that has zero chance of winning just because they sound good. You might agree with them more than other people, but if they have zero chance of winning, you're not following the biblical command to choose able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. So we have a chance to do that. Speak up this weekend, folks. Make sure that your voice is being heard. Make sure your values are being counted. Make sure that you're voting. Make sure that you're telling all your friends and family to vote. And then get out the effort. You can get out the vote on Tuesday. If you didn't early vote, get there on Tuesday. All right, folks, I'll be with you Monday and Tuesday. So looking forward to spending those 2 days with you. They're going to be very, very important. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. We'll be right back. You ever wonder why our society is so ravenous to abort babies? Well, according to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents. They sickly believe that the blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies, in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle. Their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. Every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. Donate securely today. Dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 or go to preborn.com. Preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.